Praise God. The theme of my sermon this morning is taken from a beautiful psalm, one psalm that I love very much, and it's Psalm 27, Psalms 27. We will be reading from verse 4, and I encourage you strongly to read this psalm when you will be at your home. Psalm 27, verse 4, longing to be in God's presence. This was the desire that David had. Psalms 27, verse 4, and may God bless his word as we begin to read this verse. One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. All of us are seekers. All of us, we are seeking for something in our lives. Within us, there are those things which we desire. We have goals in life, and we are looking to fulfill those dreams because we know that fulfilling those dreams will give us some kind of fulfillment and satisfaction, sense of worthiness. So we must be careful to evaluate what we are searching. Are those things that I'm seeking now worthy to be seeking or to be looking for? Some of the things that we seek maybe are not beneficial for us. So we are called to examine it, to evaluate it, to determine what is good for us. In this psalm that we just mentioned, Psalm 27, David's most desire was to be in God's presence. This is what's the main goal of his life. And surely David knew what it was to struggle with serious issues in life. And the psalm in itself is a story of all the struggles that he had. And it's almost a biography of his life, the season of his life. But you know, through this, he learned to make a selection, to evaluate what was valuable for him, what was really important for him. And he determined that the most important thing that he was seeking in his life was to be in God's presence. So I pray this morning that we can learn. I pray this morning that we can open our hearts to receive and to evaluate our heart to determine what is important in our lives. Or better, what will be the most important things for us. You know, David has a heart for worship. And you know, if you look at the main people in the Bible, you see that they have a particular trait of their spiritual character. I think about Abraham. He was recorded as the man with faith, a friend of God. If I look at other people like Joseph, we see the persistent love and commitment that Joseph had. We see also this in Jeremiah, the man that continued to fulfill the mission of God, even if he was suffering himself, even if at one point they say, God, you deceived me. But when we look at David, we understand that the main characteristic of his heart was to be in God's presence, worshiping God. If we go through the Psalms, we see how many Psalms are making clear that desire that he has. Many times he speaks about this relationship that he was looking for to have with his own God. Many times he starts, the Lord is my. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my refuge. He spoke about this intimate relationship that we need to have also for God. And through this particular desire, I want to show you how we can respond in the same way to the mighty name of God that we love and we care for. So let's look at the first thing that we can find in this. God's presence builds confidence. As I mentioned, the reason for David to long for God's presence was the realization that he was in a very difficult season of his life. He starts in this way, the Lord is my light. The Lord is the one that will take care of me. Even if my father and mother will abandon me, even if an whole army may encamp around me, the Lord will never forsake me or abandon me. So having that relationship with God built in him the confidence that no matter what was the circumstance that he was in, he can always rely on God's presence in his life. And when you are willing to worship, when you focus more on the desire that is most important in your life, to worship God, you will receive it from the presence of God, such confidence that will give you the ability to resist and to stand even in the most difficult moment of your life. How many times we fell down? How many times we may experience moments of darkness in our lives, where we feel the heavy cloud on top of us and we feel down in our spirit, but we start to worship the Lord. We go in prayer. We put in some music that is encouraging us to worship the Lord. We read the Bible. We go through a psalm and our spirit is lifted. We find again confidence. We know that God can intervene in our lives. We know that the Holy Spirit is in us. And we experience such a sweet presence of God in our life. David knew that worshiping God was a way for him to overcome the depression, to overcome the challenges of discouragement. And I'm telling you something, you know, this is an important lesson for all of us. We must also realize that it is only in God's presence where we find the strength. Not only the confidence, but the strength to overcome. I love what Isaiah says. Chapter 40, verse 30 to 31. The prophet says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see the difference. You understand the difference between those who stand on their own and those who are waiting upon the Lord. And if we are here this morning and we are maybe in situations where we feel that our strength is going down completely, we need to recharge our batteries, praise God, because He is our strength. We can wait upon Him. And waiting upon Him gives the idea to worship Him, to consider who He really is, and to have the ability to be aware of His presence in our lives. Let me tell you something. You are not alone in your walk. You are not walking alone. You have the presence of God with you. You have the third person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. You are not alone. And when you recognize that and you get awareness of the presence of God, you will experience something new. You will experience a renewal of strength. Longing for God's presence demands exclusivity. David says something very important. One thing I ask of the Lord. One thing. This is what I seek. One thing. One thing. It was an exclusive desire. He knew what he wanted. David had set priorities in his life. On top of his priorities, what was very important for him was to be in God's presence. Worshiping God. He knew that nothing more was able to fulfill his life than to be in the presence of God. Like David, if we do seek earnestly and with determination, we will find God. We will find Him. God says that we need to knock because it will be open to us. We need to ask because it will be given to us. It's interesting. If you go in the New Testament, something similar happened in the church. In the early church of Antioch. Okay, this was an amazing church. I believe that is the most beautiful church that we have in all Bible, the church of Antioch. There was the presence of God. There was a true revival. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were given freely in that church. There was respect for the word of God. And you see that when the revival came and the church started to begin, Barnabas and Paul went to teach those believers. At one point, they encouraged them to stand firm in their heart in serving God. And this is our necessity, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The season that we are living now is very clear to me. We are approaching the end of the days. We are seeing very, very clear signs of the coming of the Lord. And we cannot be insensitive to that. We must reflect that the Lord is coming soon. And many times we think that the Lord has nothing to do with us anymore. We become a nominal Christian. And we have not the passion, the desire to serve God. And because that, we are lacking in our worship. We are lacking in being transformed by the power of God. We are lacking our commitment to see God's glory being manifested in our lives. David was very clear. One thing I ask. This is what I seek. And if this morning we are committed to serve God and we set our priorities right, we will see God's glory in our midst. We will see God's presence being manifested. David knew that when he was not able to stand in the presence of God, he had moments where his soul was completely drained. It was like he was mourning on that. Look what he writes in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. And he says in verse 1 and 2, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David felt the need, the deep need in his life to be in the presence of God. He says this beautiful, he illustrates this with this beautiful analogy. As the deer panted to the flowing streams, so my soul panted for you, O God. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge myself. Because before I preach it to you, I preach it to myself. Is our soul panting for God? Are we experiencing that desire to be in God's presence? Like David is saying, when I shall come and appear before God. He felt such urgency. He felt that something was lacking in his life when it was not in the presence of God. And do we feel the same, my brothers and sisters, when we are not giving ourselves to worship God, to have our quiet time with God, when we fellowship with other believers together? Do we feel the lack of such fellowship with God and other believers? Oh, we are becoming immune to that. Or our heart is becoming callous. You know what is the effect of a callus? That you lose sensitiveness. A callus is a different layers of dry skin that forbids you to have a sensitiveness. If you're used to walk barefoot, underneath you have a callus. Doesn't matter if you walk on rocks, you don't feel pain. And I believe that is the same with us when we are pulling gradually out of God's presence. We become immune. We are no more sensitive. And we don't feel the need to be in the presence of God. David was completely the opposite. When I shall come before you, O God. When I will appear before you. Lord, I miss you. I miss you. Do we say that to our God? Lord, I miss you. I miss you, Lord. I miss your fellowship with other believers. I miss you, Lord. When you talk to me, I miss you, Lord. And I believe that we should sense the lack of presence. If we don't feel that we lack the presence of God this morning, maybe it's a good day. And God in his love is asking us. And he's saying, Mario, I miss you. Joseph, I miss you. Mary, I miss you. He's calling us. And you know why? Because God loves us. He loves us. And he wants to be with us. He's a relational God. And this brings me to the second point. God's presence brings a deeper sense of godliness. When we dwell in God's presence, there is a more passion that comes from the staying. David was determined to develop a fellowship with God. And despite the challenge that he was experiencing in his life, he said, this is what I need. I want to be in the presence of God. And let me tell you this bluntly this morning. Too many Christians are in such a hurry to get to heaven that they don't take the time to enjoy the trip. We are not enjoying the fellowship. We are not enjoying the time that God has allocated to us on earth to bring and bear fruit for His glory and to see His glory being manifested in our lives so we can be a blessing for others. There is a beautiful hymn in our hymn book that says, make me a blessing, O Lord, so I can bless others. And I believe that this is the sense of fellowship with God. You will receive so much from Him that you cannot take all of that and you feel the necessity to give it to somebody else. I remember in 1998, I was at the hospital in Laval. I went there for a strong pain that I had in my stomach. And then I was supposed to go under a surgery and everything. And that morning that I was supposed to go in a surgery, I say supposed to go because the Lord did a miracle in my life that day. But I want to go in details. What I want to say is this. That morning, I was supposed to go around 8. And I was early in the morning, maybe 4:30, 5. I went to this solarium that was at the fourth floor. And I started to read the Bible. I felt such a presence of God in my life in that moment that I never had it before. I was concerned about the surgery, about the complication, about the fact that my wife had just a baby and she lost her mom. A lot of things were in my mind. And I said, Lord, I truly need your presence in my life at this moment. And the Lord started to come in such overwhelming presence in my life. I said, Lord, I cannot take this. It's too much. I can't. It was overwhelming. And I said, Lord, give me the possibility to share with somebody. I can't take it anymore. I opened my eyes and somebody was beside me. I believe it was an angel of the Lord that appeared to me. Because the person told me, the Lord that I serve sent me here to say that everything will be okay. I can tell you something, I never had the surgery after. And I'm telling you, when you are in the presence of God, God's presence comes so strongly in you. You cannot take it. You feel the need to share. You feel the need to speak about God. And Jesus says, what is in your heart, this will come out from your mouth. If we have the presence of God in our lives, we will bring out the name of Jesus and what He does for us. It will bring out that He's our Lord, our Savior. We have and we share a deep sense of godliness. When I speak godliness, it's in contraposition with worldliness. We cannot have two thrones in our lives. Oh, we love God, or we love the world. We cannot be divided. And if you love God, you are enemy of the world. If you love the world, you are enemy of God. There are two forces that cannot walk together. And when you experience the presence of God and you taste the goodness of God, you don't want to walk with the world. You want to walk with Him. We are not led by the system of this world, from the things of this world. I was so saddened in my spirit this week when I heard the minister, Gaëtan Barré, announced that the abortion pill will be part of the Medicare of the Quebec government. It saddened my heart. Today, we are encouraging people to remove life, to abort as a contraceptive method. And we forget that God is the giver of life. I see the rebellion in the heart. I see the rebellion of this society that is building systems against God. We cannot be passive anymore. We cannot be lukewarm. We must develop a deep sense of godliness that will bring godliness in the people's life, in our world, as we speak with others, as we announce the hope that Jesus Christ is willing to give. We cannot be divided anymore. We cannot be divided anymore, church. And maybe this message looks hard on you, but it's coming out of love for you. Because I love you and I love the Word of God, I have to preach this message to all of us, me included. We need to be passionate for God. We need to look forward to be in the presence of God. David poured out his soul to God and allowed God to impart godliness and strength in his heart. Only when we pour out our soul before God, we can receive from God. If our heart is closed, if our soul is not sensitive anymore to the Spirit of God, we are quenching the Spirit of God. We are becoming rebellious to the Spirit of God. And God will withdraw His presence from us. I don't want to be in that condition, my brothers and sisters. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in a church where we are passionate for God, where we have the goal to set our priorities right and to put God as a first priority. Because one thing we need to know, my brothers and sisters, that heaven and earth will pass away one day. Everything will pass away. But the Word of God will stand forever. And those who have built on the wrong foundation will be paying the consequences after. But those who are edifying themselves on the cornerstone that Jesus Christ and the teaching of the apostles, they will stand. They will appear in the presence of God. And one day they will hear the wonderful words, "Well done, my faithful servant." But my desire is that we understand that if God is within us, if God's presence is alive and real, then we have to deal with God. And many Christians believe that He's always there, but they leave us isn't there. We must respond. Whatever you like or not, you always give a response to God, an answer to God. Your response can be positive or can be negative, ignoring God. How many times, and we must confess that before God, we are indifferent. How many times we show no passion for God? We receive a message from the Lord. We hear the Word of God being preached. And such message doesn't leave anything to us. We become indifferent. God doesn't want that. And the prophet Isaiah, he say, "Come and let's talk with us. Let's discuss together." If you look at the original terms, let's fight it together. You know, God is passionate. And God says, let's discuss together. Even if you sin, let's discuss together. Come to me. Come and I give you freely bread that you need to buy. You see, the greatness of God is that when we are available to Him, He will come to us with the same passion. I love what the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says. Christianity is essentially the religion of the presence of God and communion with God. I love this definition. I read it again. Christianity is essentially the religion of the presence of God and communion with God. God is not happy just to be present. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to share with us. And this is very important. And then God's presence, and this is the third point, demands true worship. I say that we must respond. And true worship is what God is waiting for. And longing for God's presence demands dwelling in the house of God, being where God is. David says that he had two goals, and one of these was to inquire in the temple of the Lord. Why? Because in Deuteronomy 14:23, God says, "I will dwell, if you build a house for me, I will dwell in that place." So the people of Israel, they know that going to worship in Jerusalem under the tabernacle first and then eventually under the temple was a way to meet with God where he was present. And if you remember, when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God came on top of the place that the priest were not able to minister to others. Such heavy presence of God was in the place. So David knew that he was supposed to be in the house of God. And I say this to you and to myself this morning. Are we the same desire? Are we the same desire to be in the house of the Lord? Do we follow God's command to be in the house of God? To gather together with other believers. And I'm not referring necessarily to a building in itself, because you know that a church is where people of God are together. What I'm trying to say is that we need to have the desire to look for God where we can find him. And I'm very clear with you. I cannot find God in a nightclub. I cannot find God drinking. I cannot find God giving in to my addictions. I cannot find God looking pornography. I cannot find God pursuing sexual immorality. I can't. Even if God is present in every place. What I'm trying to say that we should look and pursue occasion for us to meet with God in the presence of other believers. And today we have the privilege that the people of the Old Testament didn't have. You know what? Jesus promised to be always present in his church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. Jesus promised that. So when we are with other believers and we gather together in his name, we can enjoy his presence. We can be blessed. It is when we consider the majesty of God's glory in our lives that we'll have a deeper understanding and awareness of his presence in our midst. More we contemplate God, more we find fellowship with him, more we discover the privilege that we have to be in fellowship with the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. And my brothers and sisters, let's be encouraged one another. As Hebrews chapter 10 says, not to forsake the gatherings of the church. Let's not forsake that. When there is meetings in church, it's important we are present. It's important that we encourage one another. It's important that we stir up one another in following Jesus Christ. It's important we encourage one another, meeting in a normal place to have a coffee together, but also to encourage one another in God's ways and make available ourselves to others so they can see our interest for the spiritual walk with God. Because God manifests his presence through worship. And when we worship God, we will manifest also our desire to be in fellowship with God himself. The word of God says that God delights to be in the presence of his people when we worship him. When we worship him. And let me clarify something. Worship is not merely be identified with singing. Singing can assist us in worship, but it cannot make a worshiper becoming a worshiper. You worship because already have the presence of God. You can sing beautifully, yet fail to reach God's heart. Through worship is how we conduct ourselves in our homes, in our workplace, in a daily basis. I love what Psalms 24, verse 3 and 5 says. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy presence, in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. People who are dishonest, deceitful, and lack of integrity in their dealings with others cannot offer acceptable worship to God. It's very clear. I wish I could say, you can deceive others and come and worship and raise your hand before God. It will be okay. No, I can't. You cannot treat bad your wife or your husband or your children or at your workplace and come and worship God as nothing happened. No. A pure heart. A pure heart. This is what God demands in our worship. Because if we have a pure heart, then we will express a true worship. True worship, it is this acknowledge of God's supreme worth, followed by a response that reflects His worthiness. True worship, it is seeking to bless and enjoy God, not our seeking and bless and enjoy ourselves. True worship, it is going a step forward. It's something that the Holy Spirit must prompt in our hearts. It is not energized by artificial attempts or methods. We don't need the worship team to foster our worship to God. We don't need to create an atmosphere with smoke and lights. We don't need that. That's no worship. That's feeding the flesh. True worship comes from the Holy Spirit within you. It's having a heart that is prompt and ready to worship God and recognize that you are in the presence of the Creator of heaven and earth. And because of that, you recognize the supremacy of God and you bow down before Him with a pure heart, recognizing that you are coming short before Him, but also you recognize that grace is offered to you and is given freely to you. So every time we come in the presence of God, we should realize what Isaiah realized in chapter 6 when he saw the vision of the throne of God and the angels and cherubims saying that God is worth to be worshipped and all the earth is filled with His glory. Isaiah realized, I'm a man with impure lips. My heart is unclean. How can I stand in the moment in the presence of God? Yes, God is a friend, but also is a holy God. And we should worship Him in that vision. God is a good God. We need the revelation of His presence in our lives more and more. The Bible is very clear about the presence of God in all the created universe. God is present everywhere. Not that the universe contains God, as many Oriental and Eastern religions say. They identify God with the universe. No. This is not the idea of the Bible. The Bible says that God contains universe because He created universe. He's not contained by the universe, but He contains universe. He's the creator of the universe. He's above creation. And then there's more. Jeremiah 23:24 says, I am a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away. Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? His presence is everywhere. When you are in places that you shouldn't be, God sees you. You cannot hide Him from Him. We cannot mock God and say, He doesn't know. Oh, maybe your dad, your mom, your husband, your wife, your friends, He doesn't know. Your pastor doesn't know. But God knows. He sees everything. But still, there are times when we experience God's presence in a stronger, a personal way. And I want to clarify this. This, is, however, is not to do the decreasing and increasing presence of God. Because He's everywhere. When we say that we need more of the presence of God, it's not that God moves from the North Pole and comes here and increases His presence here. No. It is the perception of His presence that will make the difference. So more we become aware of His presence, more we feel stronger His presence. Make sense of what I say to you? God is present in the fullness of His glory here. Right now, in this specific moment. How we can perceive that is the way that we give room to Him in our hearts. And you realize why, in the same service, in the same place, in the same moment, a person can be greatly blessed and another person can be indifferent at all. Why? Is God's presence changing? No, it's the heart that changes. And we need this morning be aware that we should make space and room for God to be in our heart. The awareness of God's presence enriches our spiritual lives. And more we allow God to have room and take over our lives, and more we realize how blessed we are. Then we have a different perspective on the things that we're going through. And then we can say with Paul in chapter 8 of Romans, if God is with us, who can be against us? Who can be? Persecution? Famine? Nudity? Opposition? Mocking? Angels? Powers against us? No, Paul says, I truly say to you that nothing can separate us from the love of God as being given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the awareness of God's presence that will create such huge difference in our hearts. It's the difference that we have between a superficial understanding of God and the realization that God is truly with us. Let me conclude this with some final application. God's presence is always within us. We are not merely living the presence of God, but also we experience God's presence in us. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, where he says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We are God's temple. We carry God's presence in our lives. We carry God's presence. So you are not begging God to be with you. He's already within you. The problem is this. Are you willing to give Him full control? Are you willing to say, God, you lead me, Lord. I will follow you. There is another beautiful hymn. Where He leads me, I will go. If we allow God to have control in our lives, then we will understand how privileged we are. So we need the revelation of His presence in our lives more and more. Again, I say, it's not that God decreases and increases His presence. It's our awareness of His presence that will make the big change. And again, the awareness of God's presence will bless our lives in such a way that we'll be victorious in our walk with God. It's not that Christian life is immune from problems. I can give you a bad news if you want. Because we are Christians, we will have even more problems than others. Because the enemy will try to discourage you more and to put you down, to steal God from your heart. But because we are rooted in God's grace, we know that the words of Jesus are real. No one will steal you from my hands. So this morning, my brothers and sisters, why wouldn't take this opportunity to say, God, I want you more present in my life. Or better, Lord, I want to be more aware of your presence. Lord, I want to set my priorities okay. I want to put you at the top. Like David, one thing I seek. One thing I'm looking forward to be in God's presence. If we do so, we will experience such a change in our lives. I'm very honest and sincere with you. Christian life is not, if it's not lived at the full capacity, is the most boring life that we can have. It's the most disappointing life that we can have. You can enjoy the Christian life only when you are full committed to serving Him. Is there that you experience overwhelming joy? Is there that you experience the beauty of His glory in your life.